Understand that here in John chapter 15, this is the Lord is with his disciples. He's heading towards the crucifixion. They've taken the Passover together. He's instituted the Lord's Supper, and he's speaking to his disciples and telling them about some things. So let's look here. We can go ahead and look real quick in chapter 16, verse 1. Look here. Chapter 16, verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." The Lord, and several times in the book of Matthew, it speaks there about at his preaching, at his teaching, there were those that were offended in him. They were offended by his stand. They were offended by what he said. They were offended by the authority by which he spoke. It tells us there that at the time of the Sermon on the Mount, the people marveled and said, "This man doesn't speak like the scribes." And I wonder if that doesn't mean that the scribe would say, "God says this and God says that," because the Lord Jesus Christ said, "But I say unto you," you know, and then with authority he spoke. And he's telling his disciples this, why? So they won't be offended. He's telling them things in advance. And he's speaking to us also. I mean, this comes down here to you and me here in 2010, right? Some 2,000 years or so from the time that the Lord instituted his church and the day of his ministry. And he says here, "I'm the true vine, not the false vine, not a wild vine, but I'm the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman." And if you can imagine this vineyard where the Lord Jesus Christ is the vine and the Father is the husbandman, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." He does that. "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." He'll take the fruit off of it and he'll prune it when it's time, that it may bring forth more fruit. He only does that which will be good for that vine. "Now ye are clean," how? "Through the word which I have spoken unto you." All the importance of the word. We need what God says in us. We need to receive it. We need to believe it. We need to act upon it. Not just have a head knowledge of it so we can regurgitate it at an appropriate time, but we need to act on it. We need to use it. He said, that's how you've been made clean. We talked about it here a little while ago about how it is that we're like a bucket with holes in it, and we need to keep putting that water of the word in there, and it runs out because I just can't hang on to it with this old rotten mind. I just can't keep everything that I get, and so therefore I need it again and again and again. Well, by the water running out and being put back in and running out and being put back in, it cleanses, doesn't it? He says, "You're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." He says, "Abide in me, dwell in me, live in me, and I in you." Live in me. Make me preeminent. Remember, I'm number one. "And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." There's no fruit without living in Christ. There's no fruit without dwelling with him. We can take a purpose, a plan, an endeavor, a venture, and if we don't have the Lord in us about it, it'll come to naught. "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." That word "abide" means to dwell. You dwell in your house, don't you? You live there. You occupy. Well, we need to be that way with Christ. We need to dwell and abide in him. "I am the vine," verse 5, "and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Oh, we need the Lord. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Verse 6 started off with "if," didn't it? That means maybe we will, maybe we won't. How about you? How about me? Verse 7, there it is again. If ye abide in me, because if you don't, the counter is going to be the true. And my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Bear a lot of fruit. Abound with fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. There's all different kind of aspects about how that love is carried out. And it ranges from telling the truth, being sharp, being to the point, all the way to forgiveness and kindness and gentleness and backing off. There's a whole range in there. There's a whole appropriateness, but not one aspect will be enough. We love our children. We discipline our children because we love them. The discipline is not pleasant, but it is for their benefit because we desire a good end for them. As an example, so it is with the Lord with us. I'm slow learning some things, quicker learning at other things. And so the things that I'm slower in learning, the Lord's got to work on me more about that. It's the way it is, just the way that it is. If ye abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Our love for him, who first did the loving? The Lord did, didn't he? And we need to love him. We need to be constrained and motivated by our love for him because of what he's done for us. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. We could read that, if ye keep not my commandments, ye shall not abide in my love. So we need to find out what he'd have us to do. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's the example. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I'm speaking this unto you so you can be happy in me. In the world looking for happiness, peace. Yeah, folks are clamoring for that. They try it so many different ways. And the Lord says, I want to give it to you. And I want to give you my joy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Here's the example. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he's done that for us, hasn't he? Laid down his life for the likes of me. Ye are my friends if I'm a friend of Jesus. Do you obey him? Well, sometimes. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. And I tell you what, this is big here. There is a sense in that we are the servants of the Lord, but this is Lord Jesus Christ right before he's going to the cross, and he's saying, I am not calling you my servant anymore. Henceforth, from here forward, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. The servant is expected to obey, and the master has got the big plan, right? He's got the master plan. He's going to make sure the master plan gets carried out. To the servants, he says, do this, do that, do the other. But he says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Church, he's let us know. He's let us know what the Father wants done and what he wants done in his church. He's promised us an unction, an anointing of the Holy Spirit, that in his church we can understand what it is and take this book and apply it. Church down the road here, that's not one of the Lord's churches, They haven't got that there. Well, Brother Jim, that's kind of narrow. That's what it is. If they're not one of the Lord's churches, they don't have that. And that can be pretty quickly sorted out by the doctrine that they would hold to. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've called you. Remember that high calling that we saw this morning? And ordained you. Not only called you, chosen you, but I've ordained it. I've set it up this way. How? That you should go and bring forth fruit. Fruit. And that your fruit should remain. The ministry that we minister is to establish and set for a posterity. I want to be a pastor that helped and build up the Lord's church. Contrary to maybe the belief of some, I do want to be that. I do. I really do. Because it's such a shame when a pastor, and we've all heard of this, a pastor be at a church, and circumstances prevail. There's always different kinds of circumstances, but it be that when that man is there, everything's great, but then when he leaves, things blow up. I don't want it to be that way with my ministry and my service to the Lord. I want the fruit to remain. I want your fruit to remain. We should all desire that our fruit remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, verse 17, that you love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Why do you all stand for what you stand for over there at Olmsted Baptist Church? Because Jesus said it. Amen. Well, I don't like that. I said, well, take it up with the Lord. Take it up with the Lord. Try to show him chapter and verse. And remind them that these books are going to be at the judgment. I don't know what else to say. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. If we lined up with the course and way of the world, then there'd be no salt. There'd be no light. It would all look the same. If you are of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Church. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Read that again, verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. When we are hated or when we are rejected, it's really not us, it's the Lord that's being rejected. It's his doctrine, his teaching, his way that's rejected. But these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. See, the very presence of Jesus Christ revealed sin. And the very presence of his body is going to reveal sin. What's the work of the Holy Spirit? In chapter 14, the Lord says, in chapter 14 of this book, he says in verse 16 of 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And then over here in chapter 16, the next chapter from where we're reading in verse number 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." And then in chapter 20, verse number 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." John 20, verse 20. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and they were just, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, and as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost," the Comforter. And he goes out there and tells them about the responsibility. "Whosoever sins you remit are forgiven, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain are not forgiven, they are retained." My question to you, as you turn back over to John chapter 15, verse 22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." How is it that the Spirit is going to speak and do those things that the Lord promised that the Spirit would do? How is there going to be an audible to the world in this work that the Comforter is going to do and speak? Let's go read that again. "Of sin, because they believe not on me," that's what the Spirit, the Comforter, is going to do. "Of righteousness and of judgment." How is it? How's it going to be done? How is it that the world's going to hear that? Through you and me. Right out of your lips. Right out of our mouth. The Spirit on us, the Spirit in us, the blessing of the Comforter, the Spirit of God on His church. You know what that means? We are duty bound to seek the Lord's face, to know what it means in the Word of God, to say it right. And we need to find out, we need to have it in our heart, and we need to speak it. Because there's no other place that it's going to be spoken. Verse 23, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." That's pretty stiff. "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father." Man, Jesus Christ had this real hate me complex, didn't he? No, he just stated the truth. You know, we live in a day of peace, love, joy, and harmony. And who doesn't want it? Man, it's great. And the Lord can bless us and help us. And He does have blessings where we can be harmonious and live peaceably in that. We need to understand that we need to stand first, know what He says, stand in that. And if it's received, hallelujah, praise the Lord. If sinners are saved, praise God. If people are offended, praise God. May the Lord help us that we be right. "And hated both me and my Father," verse 25, "but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Abide in me.